Chapter 20. Lexi dropped Nans and the ladies off at the retirement center. As she was pulling out, her phone chirped, reminding her she had a missed call. Her mother. Lexi hit the callback button, her stomach sinking as the phone rang. Were her parents calling because of some RV problem? Lexi did a mental accounting of her bank accounts to try to find some money she'd be able to send them, if need be. Lexi, I called you earlier. Vera's chipper voice blared out of the phone. I know, I'm calling you back. I hope everything is okay. Yes, dear. We're having a grand old time in the desert. You're still in the desert of Maine? Is something wrong with the RV? No, well, yes, but that's not why we're here. We ran into the Schlumbergers. You remember them, don't you? Anyway, we're hanging around with them until Daddy fixes the RV, which is actually why I called. Lexi's heart pinched. Do you need money? I have a little bit in savings, but I can sell some investments if... No, no, it's nothing like that, Vera yelled even louder than usual. Daddy just needs a part, and he says he stored it in Nan's garage. We were hoping you could dig it up and ship it out to us. Lexi's breath rushed out in relief. Oh, sure. Whatever you need. Okay, it's behind some old boxes in the far right, just under the electrical panel. There's a little door there to a small storage section, and the doohickey is inside the storage section. Lexi frowned as she took a U-turn to head back to her house. Doohickey? Could you be a little more descriptive? Daddy says it's in a blue box with white lettering. Beehive Motors. Okay, that sounds easy to find, Lexi hoped. Great. Then can you FedEx it up to us in care of Desert of Maine Campground, 95 Desert Road, Freeport, Maine, 04032? Okay, will do. Wait a minute. Lexi heard her mother yelling something in the background, then she came back on. Gotta go, dear. The horseshoe tournament is starting. Vera clicked off just as Lexi pulled into her driveway. She glanced at the time on the phone, then tossed it into the passenger seat. Just enough time to run in, grab the part, and run to the post office to ship it out before I head off to the dessert contest registration, Lexi thought, jumping out of her car. She bent down in front of the detached garage and grabbed the handle for the lift-up door. She yanked and pulled, pushing the door up until it rolled into the ceiling with a squeal of protest. She stood in front of the fully packed space with her hands on her hips, wishing she'd actually made good on the promise to clean it out last spring. As it was, the garage held a variety of things from all three generations. No car, not even one as small as her VW Beetle, had fit inside as long as Lexi could remember. Picking her way through the boxes, old bicycles, and paint cans, she headed toward the back corner, scanning the wall for the storage area. She found it behind a stack of boxes. The storage area was only a crawl space. The door was about 3 feet off the ground. Lexi pushed the boxes off to one side and crouched down in front of the door, which was a thin slab of wood secured with a metal hook-and-eye latch. She opened it, brushing cobwebs out of the opening. The smell of old, dry wood tickled her nose as she peered into the darkness. Lexi felt a chill run up her spine as she got a feeling of déjà vu. The scene reminded her of just a few days earlier when she had knelt in front of the hole in Jack's basement and peered into the secret room at the mummy. Hopefully, she wouldn't find a dead body in here today. Lexi blinked into the dark space. Just inside the door were an old helmet, a basketball, and what was left of a croquet set. She shoved them out into the narrow aisle she'd made on her way in, then got on her hands and knees and pushed her upper body inside. She could see a little better now and thought she spotted a light blue box with white writing over on the right. She twisted her torso, reaching out her right hand to grab it. She grabbed the edge of the box, but it was stuck. She tugged. It didn't budge. She hoisted herself in a little further. The box appeared to be wedged between some 2x4s that made up the framing of the storage space. Something else was keeping it wedged in. She shoved her hand into the space beside the box and pulled. The box popped out, and along with it, a red flip-flop. Something niggled at Lexi's memory. Where had she seen a red flip-flop before? Then it hit her, turning the blood in her veins to ice. She knew where she'd seen one. Earl's mummy had been wearing a red flip-flop, and she hadn't seen another one in the secret room. She thought back. What foot had it been on? Picturing the mummy lying there, she remembered. It was the right foot. She looked down at the flip-flop in front of her, and a jolt of panic shot through her. The flip-flop was for a left foot. Was this the other flip-flop that Earl had been wearing when he died? And if so, what in the world was it doing, hidden in Nan's garage? Lexi stared at the red flip-flop, lying on the floor in front of her, just inside the small storage room. It was probably a coincidence. Surely, Earl wasn't the only one to wear red flip-flops. And just because he appeared to have lost one, and there was only one here in Nan's garage, didn't really mean anything. It was circumstantial. Lexi wondered if the FBI had advanced tests they could do to prove this flip-flop was the mate to Earl's. And if so...
Are you trying to hide from me?
Lexi whirled around to see Watson Davies standing just inside the garage door. What?
No.
Lexi sprang up from her position on the ground, kicking the small storage room door shut as she did.
What are you doing here?
Davies surveyed her, an amused look on her face.
I was driving by and saw your car. I thought I'd swing in so we could catch up.
Driving by?
Yeah, on my way to Jack's to give it one last go-through before we clear the crime scene.
Oh,
Lexi relaxed and blew a stray lock of hair off her forehead.
I was just in here looking for a part for my parents' RV.
It wasn't a lie, just not the whole truth. Davies looked around.
You have a lot of stuff in here.
Yep.
Lexi glanced behind her at the door to make sure it was closed. Some of it is left over from when Nan's moved to the retirement home and my parents sold their house and decided to travel the country.
It's like a time capsule.
Davies leaned over and looked in one of the boxes, causing Lexi's heart to leap. The last thing she needed was for Davies to start rummaging around and find the flip-flop. Or something else Nan's might have stored in here. Lexi picked her way back toward the front of the garage.
It's hot in here and there are spiders. Let's talk outside.
I wanted to ask if you guys got anything out of Nussbaum.
Davies glanced backward over her shoulder as Lexi pushed her out into the driveway. Lexi brushed the dirt and cobwebs from her shirt. She considered holding back about Ron Witt, mostly out of habit. She wasn't used to sharing information with Davies. But they were on the same team now, and she might need Davies' help in the future.
As a matter of fact, we did, Lexi said.
Well, those sneaky old ladies.
Davies' face lit in an appreciative smile.
What did you find out?
Lexi told her how Nussbaum had heard Ron Witt fighting with Earl, and their subsequent trip to talk to Ron and Esther. Davies chewed on a sparkly blue fingernail.
Do you think this Ron guy could have done it?
I don't know. He admitted being mad and embarrassed about it, but people don't just go around killing someone because they are mad. Lexi twisted her mouth in thought. I really don't think he did it. It would be out of character.
What about the other neighbors? They had motives too,
Davies pointed out. Lexi pictured the red flip-flop in the storage room, and her stomach sank. They did, but not strong enough motives to justify murder. Besides, I can't imagine anyone in the neighborhood doing it.
But it's got to be tied to the neighborhood. He was found in the McDonald's basement, and there's no way a stranger would have known to put him in there.
She had a point. Only the neighbors would have known about the basement remodel, unless the stranger had noticed Nussbaum coming and going, or had found out some other way.
What about the Elms pub? Lexi suggested.
We know Earl hung around there, and the receipt I found from Sprinkles might have been from him. Maybe it was someone he had a run-in with there, and they also knew about the McDonald's basement renovation, because Nussbaum hung there, and he might have mentioned it.
We don't know if that receipt was in the sealed-off room with Earl,
Davies cautioned,
though your dog did run in there, so it's possible.
Or she could have gotten it from the mess in that basement, which would be another clue tying the McDonald's to Earl.
Well, that doesn't seem like much of a clue. I mean, lots of people went to the bar, and we already have proof the McDonald's were in Europe.
True.
But I talked to Sam down at the bar, and he didn't know of anyone who might have wanted to kill Earl.
And anyway, it doesn't make sense because if it was someone from the bar, then how did they get the McDonald's to call off Nussbaum?
Maybe they didn't. Nussbaum could have been in on it and doctored his receipts just in case someone came asking.
Maybe Nussbaum and this stranger were in on it together.
That's another thing that bugs me. Everyone is describing the stranger differently. I was wondering if there could be more than one.
Maybe.
Davy shook her head.
But what was their motive? And why were they hanging around the neighborhood?
It doesn't make much sense.
If some murdering strangers wanted Earl, they'd just go get him, not skulk around people's backyards like the neighbors are describing.
I know. Nothing makes sense. Lexi sighed. And what's the deal with his toe being cut off? Davies worried her bottom lip.
I don't know. But it points to something deeper than neighborly feuds.
Right. Lexi's hopes soared. Of course, Davies must be right. There was something else going on they hadn't yet uncovered. And it had nothing to do with her neighbors or Nan's being killers.
Too bad the feds don't seem to think so.
Lexi's hopes took a nosedive.
Oh, no?
No. Near as I can tell, they haven't looked into much else other than the neighbors. And it seems like they are close to coming to a conclusion.
A conclusion? You mean they think they know who the killer is?
It seems that way. And I don't have a warm, fuzzy feeling they are on the right track. Unfortunately, I fear we're racing the clock here now, and we need to step up our game and come up with some concrete evidence fast.
Davy's expression turned grim.
Otherwise, I'm afraid the feds are getting ready to put the cuffs on an innocent person just to stamp the case closed.